Welcome to Authors on Tour Live, a weekly podcast for people who love to hear about books from the authors themselves. Presented by Belco Credit Union. Visit www.belco.org/authors.asp to learn more about how Belco can help you. My name is Darren Fode, and this Best of Authors on Tour podcast was recorded live at the Tattered Cover Bookstore, one of the premier independent bookstores in the nation, with three locations in the Metro Denver area. You can visit www.authorsontourlive.com for a complete list of upcoming podcasts. Wait a minute, it's time to begin.
I shouldn't be here. I should be buried under a glacier 33 years ago. But because of many things, because of what we did over there, I was allowed to live. And it's a joy to wake up every day, because deeply inside I understand that I shouldn't be here. I wrote that book, and I never thought that this book would explode in the way that it has exploded. Generally, when something happens, a tragedy or something strong happens, or on a mountain, on the sea, on an earthquake, on war, a book is written immediately afterwards. 6 months, 4 months after something happens, a book is out. I waited 33 years to write this book. This is a book I couldn't have written before in any way. This is a book about my life before, during, and after the accident. And I am now, you look at me, but I was in 1920 then. And the average age on that plane accident was 18 years old. Of the 45 people on board, 95% had never seen or touched snow in their life before. And we survived one of the most hostile... We live in Uruguay. You know, Uruguay is on the Atlantic coast in South America. And our sports are surfing, water skiing, and beach volley. And we live exactly at sea level. We usually live across the street from the sea. So we had never seen mountains before in our lives. I mean, we had seen them on photos. We had seen them when we flew over them, but we had never touched them or been close to the mountains. So this is an ordeal that proved that you can survive without any previous training or survival experience. Because of what? Because we were a team, because we fought together, because we were a team 10 years before that plane crash. Had this plane crash happened to a commercial airliner, I think it would have been very difficult to find survivors, because they would have died on the first night. Because we were a team, we survived even the first night with temperatures to minus 35 degrees below zero. And we survived the only plane crash in history where there are survivors when a plane crashes at cruising speed and at cruising altitude. It's a miracle, and that's why I call this book A Miracle in the Andes, because there were so many miracles. How we supported the cold. It's incredible. There's no way I can explain that. Why we didn't freeze. Why we didn't die. Why we didn't die on the three impacts that the plane had when it crashed. At that altitude, at that speed, the physical forces that are unchained and those circumstances are really incredible. And we survived depression, fear. We were so afraid that our courage came from fear. And remember that we survived in the most hostile environment on Earth. We survived on a high-altitude glacier at 14,000 feet. You can survive on the sea, on the jungle, on a desert with more chances. But there, the mountains always kill you if you don't leave earlier enough. And because of what happened over there, I lost family members, my mother, my sister, my two best friends. And you change yourself. You change from a human being into a survival machine. And because of that, you think in a different way, in a way that you cannot even start to imagine sitting down there, how your mind changes, how fast and how difficult and different the thoughts might be. And when things go wrong in that magnitude, you forget everything. You leave everything out except the thoughts for your dear ones, for your family. Everything is erased in 1 second. It's like going to the doctor and he tells you, okay, I'm sorry, I have bad news. You will live only 2 weeks. How does your mind change? Immediately, things change, priorities change, and that was what happened to us. We were abandoned to die on a glacier. And because of that, we had to resort to very strange and difficult things to do to survive. We had to eat the dead bodies of our friends because that was the only thing we had to do. We couldn't leave that place. We were trapped by the environment, by the snow, by the ice, by the weather, by the climate. We had to wait for the summer to arrive. And waiting, so many things happened so slowly. 72 days and 72 nights, if you can imagine. When you read it into thin air, I met Beck Wellers, for example, into thin air, and he wrote in a book that he gave me, "I only spent one night lost in the mountains. I cannot even start to imagine what 72 are, especially without ever before having seen snow in your life or touched snow." We had to do things that, seen from the outside, might seem strange, but for us, they were very, very normal. And that was the only way to survive. But besides those things, when you think that nothing can go wrong anymore, even surviving in that way, abandoned on a glacier, we were buried by an avalanche. We were 29 guys alive, and then 2.5 weeks after the crash, an avalanche buried 27 of the 29. And that's only 2.5 weeks after the plane crash. Then we had 2 more months there. We had to be very resourceful. We had to create many things to survive there, and we had to wait 5, 6 sometimes a week inside a small fuselage, one on top of the other one. And many things happen there. You speak, you talk, you are depressed, you cry, but you're still alive and you're still breathing. So you keep on going and going and going, but you also realize that even standing still and waiting, you're dying. What would happen when the food would finish, would end? There was no more. Nothing to eat, we would die. So I decided that I had to get out of there. And during 1.5 months, I prepared an expedition to cross the Andes. I didn't know I was going to cross the Andes. I thought I was going to climb one mountain and see the green valleys of Chile from there. And I thought that in one day, I would be out of there. So I chose 2 of the best and the strongest guys over there. And we decided that we should climb that mountain, and from there, why that mountain? Because the only compass that we had was the sun. And the sun sets on the west. And to the west was the Pacific Ocean. Our only bearing and compass was the sun and the Pacific Ocean. It's like throwing you in the middle of the USA. You don't know where you are. You just look at the sun and I say, okay, the sun sets on the west, California is that way. Okay, so, but how far away are we? 10 miles, 200, 600, 1,000? So that was our bearings, the sun and the Pacific Ocean. But we thought that we would be lucky and climbing that mountain, we would see the green valleys of Chile. We fought, we climbed with our last strength, and when we reached the summit of the first mountain, we really realized that we were dead, because 360 degrees around us, we only saw snow-covered peaks. But we went on anyway. We walked for almost 9 days. We crossed 50 miles of rugged terrain, peaks, mountains, crevasses, whatever you can imagine exists on a chain of mountains. And I was flying over the Rockies here, coming to Denver and then to Salt Lake City. And they look so tame and so mild compared to the Andes. You fly over the Andes and the Andes are higher. They are horrible to look from because all the sides of the mountains are steeper and rougher and higher and darker. And I mean, the Andes, they don't want you there. And at the end, they always win. If you don't leave earlier, the mountains always kill you. But finally, after almost 9 days, I lost 90 pounds of my weight. We found a peasant, and that was the first door to our escape. But of 45 people, only 16 survived. And we survived because of that teamwork, that leadership, that decision-making, and never giving up, never giving up. And that taught me, that experience taught me many things, but the best thing that that I learned was when I got home, because my father told me, don't make the same mistake I made. I had everything planned in my life, everything, like a book with chapters. You would take charge of the family business, you would work when I would retire, and I would have a fantastic retirement with your mother. But I didn't write the chapter about the plane crash. And I never told your mother so many things I had to tell her, because I would have time later. And I never had time. So one of the things I learned, and that's why I wrote the book for him and for my family, for my wife, for my daughters, because the best lessons were after the plane crash. This is not a book about the ordeal. It is, but it's a love story. This is a book that women will absolutely love, because it's not an adventure book like Into Thin Air. This is the real Into Thin Air, because it's 72 days, not one night. And what we learned over there is what I think is important in life. We learned that love is the most important fuel in this world. As I told you before, if somebody comes to you now, or if you are in a difficult situation and they say, okay, that's what happened to us. We were waiting for a rescue, and we listened on the small transistor radio that the search has been abandoned. There are no survivors, the search has been abandoned. You go to the doctor, okay, you have 2 weeks to live. You have to put yourself into that frame of mind. And you'll remember that nothing matters except the people that are around you and that love you. So this is a book that deals with many things, a book I couldn't have written 33 years ago. And why did I write it? For my father, for my family. My wife pushed me because on many of the keynotes I give on different companies, different organizations all around the world, they asked me, do you have something written? Do you have something written? And 5 years ago I started writing something, and, well, the result is here. But I never thought it would have the impact it had. And for me it's a pleasure to be here to share with you parts of what happened there. And I will gladly answer any questions that you have, because I think this is also a part of the country, a part of the region of the United States that you understand outdoors, you see them, you look at them, you have the mountains around. And sometimes in countries where there are no mountains, they just do not understand what we went through. They thought it was a trek on the hills. And for me, that's why it's always a pleasure to come to the States, and especially to these parts of the country, because I love adventures, I love the outdoors, and if there's a place that has everything, is all this area in Colorado.
That's all for this Best of Authors on Tour podcast. I'm Darren Fode, and this podcast was recorded live at the Tattered Cover Bookstore in Denver, Colorado. Authors on Tour Live has been presented by Belco Credit Union. Belco has been serving members' financial needs since 1936. Visit www.belco.org/authors.asp to learn more about how Belco can help you. Stay pod tuned in the coming weeks for many more authors as we podcast Authors on Tour.